Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and I would like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. And I do want to preface that a little bit, being every Saturday morning. I do want to apologize to the listeners. We had some technical difficulties last week, and so we ran at a little bit different time. But I think we actually ran part of the show twice, so, you know, that works just fine.
I always wanted to work on a transmission.
Remember the old AMCO ads?
So
it was so important they needed to hear it twice.
Exactly. Most Saturday mornings we are here right at 9, so we apologize. We appreciate you coming back to listen again. As always, you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank our hosts and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how have things been going with you? We missed you last week.
Well, very good. We discovered digging our hole for the pool, we have to go down another 9 inches, so...
Oh, that adds a little more work to everything.
And that's adding to my colorful vocabulary, but we can't extrapolate on that.
That's a lot of dirt.
Yes, it is. So if mysterious piles begin, you know, crop circles in the Tri-Cities, where did this come from? I don't know. No, I'm doing it legally.
Good, good. That's what we like to hear, for sure.
Midnight landscaping.
That's no.
No, not exactly. But some exciting things are happening in the real estate market.
Because
you wore a tie today and it's Saturday. What's up with that?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. We are
working.
Basically, we are 3 weeks away from the tax credits expiring, and there is no day that's an off day until April 30th. Is kind of how things have been going. So, yeah, we've got extra showings, extra listings to put on the market this weekend, next weekend. We really are kind of making a big push. Our whole team is really doing a sprint to the end just to make sure anybody that wants the help and needs the help to take advantage of those last-minute rates and tax credits, we're going to make sure that we do whatever we can to make that possible. So
I noticed a huge first quarter. The numbers are out now, aren't they, for the first quarter?
They are, and that's, we always like to start with some local news and kind of relate that back to what's happening, you know, in the Tri-Cities. And, you know, the Tri-City Herald ran an article this week, and there was a lot of statistics about what exactly has happened in the first quarter. And, you know, as Scott and I have been reporting, it's exactly spot on. We had a huge first quarter. In fact, there was an increase of around 30% in March in the number of solds. And like we've been reporting, sales for the first quarter are running about 22% over the first quarter of last year, same time period to same time period. So it looks like with rates being low and the tax incentives being there, it's really making, you know, a huge reflection in the numbers. And that, you know, that's kind of like what we like to see, what we like to analyze. You know, how is that reporting in the numbers? And it looks like that's really something that's working for our area. On top of that, it talked about inventory still being down low, about the 1,000 mark, which is a pretty low inventory for us. And what that's done is that's made the average days on the market have really come down. From last month, from February to March, we're now looking at an average of 107 days on the market compared to 126. So that's a big statistical change quickly. And so that makes a big difference. Also, there's been a bigger jump with 27% of the market coming from 200 to 300K. So what's happening is a lot of those first-time home buyers are purchasing homes, and those folks that are selling are going ahead and jumping up into that 200 to 300K mark. So when you look at it right now, I mean, that market segment is so busy. We actually have 89% of the market there between the first-time home buyers and the move-up buyers, so between 100 to 300. So
that's quite a bit. It kind of has a ripple effect.
It has a huge ripple effect, and, you know, I'm noticing a lot of other businesses around Tri-Cities, you know, being busy because of that. I mean, I think you're really starting to see our early spring, you know, your Home Depot, your feed stores, everybody I've talked to is really starting to report an increase. And so, once again, Tri-Cities, we're just making it happen here. It's wonderful is what it is.
Well, and we're hearing even dentist's office and all kinds of other businesses are getting booked out a lot further than they normally are. You know, now they're booking out 3 and 4 weeks out
whereas they were maybe a couple of weeks out when the economy was a little bit slower here. So everybody is actually getting to participate in this run-up, which is fantastic for our community.
Exactly. I mean, I talked to our heating and air guy. He was booked out a month longer than he normally is. I talked to an electrician that had done 35 houses last month as opposed to his standard. He had been running about 20.
Wow.
So these folks are hiring more people, putting more people on, and we're just seeing a great economy right now.
That's great.
The other news, real estate news that was in the paper that some people, you know, might wonder about and see is, I don't know if anybody's been by Columbia Point lately, but
I went over the bridge the other day.
And there's some cocoons over there.
Yeah, I said, what are they doing? I thought maybe they were painting.
They're making them butterflies. Let's see what happens when these things open up, huh?
So, you know, it is kind of interesting. I mean, I had people say everything to me from, you know, is it a secret project they're redoing or going to unveil some new condos?
It's a new rock and roll museum. Well, oh, we better not spread rumors.
Yeah, exactly. So what it is it there was some construction issues and some defects with some stucco. And as we've talked about from some of our inspectors and builders here on the show, is what they had happen is they were getting some water leakage into those units. There were some drainage issues with water. And then what that relates to eventually is mold problems. So they kind of went ahead and, you know, the article talked about, you know, they're spending, you know, a couple million bucks there, you know, redoing, fixing those drainage issues and putting on new stucco. So from what I gathered in the article, it looks like we'll see the unveiling of the new facelift sometime around July. So it is kind of interesting, though, just to, if you get a chance, definitely jump on to TriCityHerald.com and check out the gallery of pictures. I mean, it's just interesting to see what's going on over there. So
cocooning the building because of the mold issues, I would imagine.
Yep, that's yeah, and they wanted, you know, and they also wanted to be able to work through the weather, you know, was kind of what they said is when they're redoing and drying and, you know, working with the stucco and stuff, it makes it a lot easier. So, but it is pretty impressive, you know. I mean, it's might not be great real estate news for everybody, but it is an impressive project to go check out. And just if you like that type of stuff, I guess it interests me because we're in the business, but
you bet.
Go for a nice walk along the river and check out what's going on down there.
Well, and another great point is that flooding and water damage doesn't necessarily come from the ground. A lot of times people need to go check their gutters and they need to take a look at how the water is draining from above, especially this time of year when we've got these spring storms coming through. So, you know, those are some things that we've kind of learned from some of the folks that have been on the show and the appraisers is, you know, make sure that you're doing proper maintenance on your house too.
Yep, that's exactly right. Before we move on here, I really want to thank our listeners for supporting our guests and our sponsors on the show.
Exactly.
I had a couple calls from our pest guy, Jim Lovelace, a Complete Pest, we had on a couple weeks ago. He's had a couple calls from you listeners directly. He's been out and worked on some bird problems and some pest issues. So we appreciate everybody not only listening to the show, but calling in and talking to our service providers. And it's kind of a two-way street there. I'm glad we can provide the information, and we sure appreciate you using their businesses. So last week, we talked about contingencies in contracts, ways to lower your homeowner's insurance, and this week, I really kind of wanted to get into a little bit about power listing. You know, what we can do to really jumpstart your home when we get on the market. What are some of the steps that we're going to take for you, and what are some of the things that you should consider? And so, number one, I mean, we've talked about this before, but in the spring market, I just really think it's imperative for what's going on right now, especially with sellers being able to take advantage of kind of the low inventory and hopefully maximize their dollar value and get a quick sale. Number one that we talk about is just pricing your home competitively. The first thing you're going to get from us is a competitive market analysis. And no marketing on earth can overcome a bad price.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, as good as everything else can be, if we don't start there, it's really going to be, you know, really going to be a problem. So
Do you ever find that the wrong price sticks with the house?
It does, and it can for a
while. Because the initial result, somebody looks at the house and it's incredible, but the price is $30,000 or $40,000 too high. They're going to automatically block that out. Now, even if the price is lowered, there's going to be it kind of sticks with it, doesn't it? So you have to start right to get it sold.
It really does.
That's kind of that cloud of, is there something else out there that they need to know about?
Yeah, is there? Did we miss something? Yeah. Is there something that we don't know about? You know, there's a lot of things that come up with that. Number two is just installation of a professional sign with a flyer and a lockbox. Making sure that you have, you know, professional flyers on site. You have a great looking sign. It's been repainted. It's fresh. I mean, you want that thing to look as good as your house is.
I have seen real estate signs where they have the little box there, the little plastic box, and you go up and it's empty.
Yeah, and that's a big turnoff.
Right. Just you don't exactly know if people took them or if the wind took them.
That's exactly right. And then, I mean, we're always trying to update ours. We just ordered about 45 new, and we do kind of on a constant basis. I mean, you know, there's nothing worse than a faded, you know, knocked over sign. It just doesn't bode well for the property. Number three on our list in power listing is just making sure that we're submitting your home to the multiple listing service. Now, we don't only submit it to the Tri-Cities multiple listing service, but we also submit it in our members of the Northwest multiple listing service. And what that means to you is the multiple listing service is a powerful tool because we have 600 local agents here that we're giving your house access to with potential clients that could sell it. I mean, it's just a huge, huge marketing tool. We've kind of taken that a step further, and we're also putting it in the Northwest Multiple Listing Service, which means there's another 20,000 agents across the state as a lot of those multiple listings have consolidated. A lot of times those folks will pull up listings in a neighborhood or a community that their clients are going to just to kind of give the client a head start. And when they do that, I want your house to be one of the only ones that shows up so that when they come to Tri-Cities, we're showing them your house first and we just have that edge. And so that's a huge deal to make sure you're getting as many agents as possible to look at the house. And then number four, before we go to break here, and we've talked about this before and we've done whole shows on this, but internet exposure across the web. This is just huge, but it's not just submitting to a site that goes out to 15 different sites and it happens automatically. It's following up with those sites to make sure your information is correct. And then it's also paying the extra fees that you need to pay. There are a lot of tricks that go on behind the scenes on these websites. For instance, when you're a showcase listing and someone searches for all the homes in Kennewick, on certain websites, we pay extra to make sure that, yes, it shows all the homes in Kennewick, but it shows our listings first. And that way we're giving your home page 1, 2, and 3 exposure instead of page 29, which nobody might get to.
Yeah.
So make sure it's not just having it on the internet, but getting the placement as high as you possibly can.
Because what we can learn from Google, too, for example, the most utilized and viewed websites are the ones that show up first.
Definitely.
And the ones that are considered the most quote-unquote professional, legitimate, basically the bigger and better and badder you are, the further near the front you're going to be.
That's exactly right. And companies like Realtor.com and Trulia, they've used this and they've leveraged that. So those are the first sites that homeowners are going to be looking at, especially relocating homeowners. And when they get to those sites, they want to be able to find your house quickly. It's just imperative.
You know, if I could I jump in here?
Jump in.
All right, I need to jump in. This is Scott with Cobalt Mortgage. Hey, you guys need to listen out there, folks. You really need to listen to what Lance is saying. It's not just that you've heard this before and that he's just reiterating something that you've heard before. It's called doing it right the first time. And if you are interested really, truly in selling your house and doing it right the first time, you have to have the right tools, which is the internet, and not only having it, but like Lance is saying, knowing how to use it. The MLS, you're exposing your property to the most agents, which is going to get you all that exposure. The signs and flyers is it's not planted at 45 degrees in your yard. It's clean, it's shiny, it's straight, it's got flyers in it. And then the bottom line is that price, because how much does all of that matter if it's priced incorrectly? So again, doing it right the first time is making sure that you get Lance talking to you about what the right price is in this local market at this time of the year and getting it priced properly so that you're moving your house. And how it impacts the mortgage guy, me, is making sure you have a realistic number that you're going to get as far as net proceeds so that we can realistically approve you for your next home. It makes all the difference. So that's what I wanted to say.
Very good. I appreciate that. And I think on that note, that's a great time to go to break. And, you know, I'm going to grill you a little bit when we come back from break. So I hope you're ready.
We'll be right back on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.
Welcome back, folks, to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about some power listing tips, some local news in the market. And now I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about lending. As you know from the past, we have Mr. Scott Ridgway here with Cobalt Mortgage. Scott, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me here. This is a lot of fun.
Now, that's our lead-in music for grilling Ridgway.
Grill. Come on, bring it.
So here's the thing. I mean, we've heard people... we've heard you talk about what's going on in the market. We know about the tax credits. You always give us a lot of great advice about lending, but I did prepare some questions for you today.
Oh, boy.
Just so that everybody can get to know you a little bit better.
Freestyle action here, huh?
So, yeah. So, number one here, so the listeners get to know your business a little bit. And you, tell us, how did you get started in the loan business?
How I got started was... a guy came in and said, hey, look at my check from doing these refinances in the boom of 92. And I said, if this guy can do this, maybe I ought to take a look at that. And that's kind of how it got started.
It's that simple.
Yeah, it's, you know, he's a nice guy. And then and I just kind of took a look at it. And that's kind of how we went. And then started the teaching process of me learning everything that I could possibly learn about the markets and what moves the markets. And it's just kind of history from there. I came out to Tri-Cities in 1994 with a company called Keystone Mortgage. We had nine of us that were partners, and then we turned around and sold that company about 5 years later to a company that became known as First Horizon, now MetLife Home Loans.
Yep.
And that corporate gorilla kind of got to where it wasn't where my place was best serving our community, so we actually started another company with about 36 partners, and that was called Homestone Mortgage.
Okay.
So a lot of people are probably familiar with Homestone Mortgage, and then we changed the name to Cobalt Mortgage when we were getting ready to open and actually get our bank charter, and that's when the subprime meltdown occurred, and the FDIC said, no more charters for banks. And so what we've done is we've grown Cobalt Mortgage to be the largest privately owned mortgage banking firm in the state of Washington. And we've grown it to where we don't need a bank charter to be able to service loans. So we're actually servicing about 20% of our portfolio now and not having to go out and get our bank charter. So we're really excited about where we're going because it gives us control over the transaction start to finish with our own people so that we can get things done quickly, efficiently, and at a low cost to our clients.
That's great. Well, tell me, what do you enjoy most about your profession?
I really enjoy making a difference and helping people do it right the first time, making sure that they've got all the information, data, so that they can make a good, informed decision about what's best for them instead of trying to tell them this is what you should do, making sure that they're getting the information so they can kind of sift it over and decide what's best for them as they move forward and either refinance, restructure, or move up and purchase another home.
No, that's great. And I think you might have answered some of this question when talking about the bank and the charter, but what really separates you and your business from the competition? I mean, there's a lot of mortgage brokers out there in town. What's the difference when they come to you?
Well, you just hit it on the head. There's a lot of mortgage brokers out there. And a mortgage broker is somebody that actually has another company underwrite the file and draw the documents for closing and fund that loan. And a mortgage banker processes the loan, underwrites the loan, draws their own documents internally, and funds the loan internally, all with their company and their people. So we're not waiting on another company to surprise us with something. That's the difference between mortgage banking and mortgage brokeraging. Cobalt is a full-service mortgage broker banker to where we do all our stuff, but we also, with our correspondent lines, have the ability to send files out that maybe are unique that... we can have somebody else take a look at if it's not something that would fall in our portfolio, maybe due to credit scores or something of that nature. And we specialize in purchase and refinance loans and performing pre-approvals to get people going.
That makes a lot of sense. Now,
I actually understood that.
Yeah, I know.
That's layman's terms on our industry, and that's actually a really good point because we really try to specialize in making sure that people understand instead of talking financial speak or accountant speak.
Oh, Lord.
Because you know what? None of that matters. What matters is how much is it going to cost me? What's my house payment going to be? And if I restructure this, how much am I going to save? And how long is it going to take me to recoup the costs of that restructure? Those really are the most underlining questions that people are looking for.
Yeah.
When looking at the lending industry, what significant changes have you seen take place in your profession through the last couple of years?
Well, from when credit reports took 3 weeks to get back and documents were printed on carbon paper, that's what we saw when I first got into this business. The biggest change really is the artificial intelligence that occurs in our industry for approving loans. That's a system that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac created a while back, and it's so based on credit scores, assets, employment history, job history, percentages of debt load to what their high credit limits are. And we've talked a lot about that on the show, about how important credit scores are.
Yeah,
and
tremendous.
So the artificial intelligence systems are what a lot of loan officers these days have actually been trained on. If the system accepts it, then we go with it, kind of a thing, versus what we really try to specialize in is breaking it down to income, assets, debts, and credit, finding out what their profile is, how much loan their income will support, and how much purchase price, which is the difference between the purchase price and the loan amount, what purchase price their assets will support. So the artificial intelligence really approved a lot of people in the past where this whole subprime meltdown occurred,
right,
that maybe they weren't really in a position, but just because the system approved it, they got those loans. And those are some huge corrections. So we went from manual underwrites to artificial underwrites to now they're starting to recognize that maybe some of those were skewed a bit, and they're coming back and making alterations. So the technology and the credit score models are really the biggest changes that we've seen in the industry.
So in other words, you're rehumanizing the process.
We're really trying to. We've got eyeballs that are looking at every file, and because we're a mortgage banker and we are servicing some of ours, there's transactions that the system, if the system accepts it, then Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac are obligated to purchase that loan.
Mm-hmm.
If we see that we're a little bit outside those guidelines, but the risk of default on that loan, let's say it's a $300,000 purchase that they're putting $200,000 down on, then that's something that maybe we can stretch the debt to income ratios a little bit, because if they default on that loan, you have an asset that has so much more value,
yes,
that the risk of doing that is far lower when you look at it from a banking standpoint. So we really do try to rehumanize the transaction, like you're saying, and that helps us get things through quickly and efficiently, and it's good for our clients.
That is such a wow, major point, you know, to look at those factors like that, because you hear a lot of horror stories where, you know, where that's not done and people can't get certain things, especially with large downs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. I mean, that does remind me of stuff that we saw, you know, 10, 12 years ago, you know, when they were doing that. So that's great.
Plus, I would imagine people enjoy dealing with folks that are a little more human.
Yeah, you would hope. Yeah.
Dealing with actual people who are actually taking the time to go through and look at your situation instead of just throwing you into a computer and spitting it out. Here you go.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest change you've seen. Mm-hmm. What do you see as the coming trend in the business in lending? What do you see in the horizon, over the horizon, that we might need to make people aware of, or just, you know, so people understand what you think is going to happen?
You know, it's really hard to predict what's going to happen in the future because of compliance and regulatory changes that are happening from the government and from some of these financial bodies that are kind of trying to tell everybody how it needs to be. But one of the really large changes that I'm excited about is that it used to be that you didn't have to be licensed to be a mortgage banker or a mortgage broker individually. And what they're going to, and has now been implemented, is in the state of Washington, you need to be a licensed loan officer, and there's a national license that you're going to have by the end of this year. So what's happening is it's weeding out a lot of people that their companies maybe don't support that, or maybe they aren't in a scenario where that's something that they feel comfortable doing.
I have to tell you, I absolutely love that. I mean,
I am so for it because it's going to get rid of the individuals that shouldn't be mm-hmm. in our business. They've done it in real estate. They've done it in the
insurance,
financial services companies, insurance, and they should be doing it in the mortgage industry, because it's going to get rid of the people that have to be accountable and held accountable for doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing. And
that's
there's a loan officer license number that you can look up. And every loan officer, mortgage professional, certified mortgage planner, as I am, will be held accountable to that number. And if they don't do things right, they will lose that number, they will lose that license, and they will lose their ability to perform mortgage planning and mortgage services in that state and potentially other states, which I completely endorse.
Very, very good. I like that a lot. So lighten it up for us a little bit here.
This is over there. It's about time. Okay. I had to get my license. Now you have to get yours.
Yeah, no kidding. So tell me this. What is the strangest or funniest incident you've experienced in your business?
Well, you know, a lot of
compelled to protect the innocent.
Yeah, we will definitely not disclose names, but you know, we really do have a lot of fun, and it sounds like there's a lot of really heavy, super important stuff, and we do take it that seriously, but we have a lot of fun, and just like anything, when you know how to do things, you can have a lot of fun with it. It's when you don't know how to do things and you get scenarios thrown at you that your brain short circuits and you kind of aren't having a lot of fun. Well, we have a lot of fun with our clients, and these are some things that have happened. I have an associate that I've worked with for a long time, and he may remember this, and I won't even mention his name, but it kind of comes down to when you have clients come in, everybody has extenuating circumstances in their lives that they have to attend to. Let's just talk about young children, for instance. And when you have a client that doesn't have the capacity to find a place for those young children and needs to make that appointment to get their loan taken care of, what can happen is some of them may potentially be in diapers when they show up. Well, there was an instance that we darn near had to have an office fumigated when they were done, and I felt so bad for my associate, and he just muscled through it and just took care of business, and you know, the mom felt bad, but you know, you have those things happen, and that was pretty funny, actually.
That was
kind of harsh, but that was kind of funny.
That is extremely funny.
So in other words, they showed up at the office to do the stuff and they didn't have the diaper bag.
Well, they weren't really, you know, prepared for where lunch was going, I guess, or something to that effect.
Okay.
That happens. I mean, it is. Yeah. I mean, all the time, there are days when I just say, only in this business.
Yeah. And you know what? You love on them and you tell your clients, you know what? Don't worry about it. I've got kids myself. It's all good. And you just try to make them feel as comfortable as they can. And then you just look at your buddy and you say, "Oh, I'm glad that was you and not me."
Yeah. I was showing a house once. It's been years ago, a couple years ago. And I'm just walking through doing my analysis, and the homeowners kind of forgot, and I opened this door, and I went ghost white, and I slammed the door shut, and I looked at the owner, and they looked at me, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry," and I go, "There is a cheetah in your bathroom."
Like, no.
And it was, they had to have a special permit for it. It wasn't a cheetah. I mean, to me, it was like an African plains cat or something.
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
Probably a bobcat.
No, this thing was huge. Trust me.
Wow.
I mean, I'd never been so freaked out in my life, you know? And they're like, "Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. We forgot to mention it to you," you know? And
yeah.
So, you know,
that would have been a helpful bit of information.
So, yeah. So there's, definitely a lot of fun stuff.
First you say it, then you do it.
You know, another fun one is when we run a credit report, and there's two people that are sometimes freshly married, and you're running their credit report because they're buying their first house together, and you get to a student loan this and this credit card, and you see the other one go ghost white, like, "Oh, I didn't know about that." I've had some interesting discussions occur in front of me, and yes. So yeah, you just never know. But yeah, I've learned to ask the question, not is your credit good or bad, but what is it that I'm going to see when I run your credit report? I tend to get a lot more honest answers that way.
Yeah, yes. That's great. Well, Scott, I appreciate you going through that with us because it allows us to learn a little bit more about you,
maybe
more than we even wanted to know at the end there. But yeah, I mean, thank you so much because that helps us know exactly what you're doing at Cobalt. We know you sponsor the show and you give us a lot of great advice each week, and I appreciate you coming in and answering some of those questions. We've been talking today with Scott Ridgway at Cobalt Mortgage. We've been talking about some tips for power listing your house, getting it on the market and getting it sold, and what we've gone over is some of our statistics. Once again, folks, folks. We are just having a screaming first quarter here in the Tri-Cities. We appreciate all of your referrals. We appreciate all the business you've sent to our sponsors. And that is going to wrap up the show for today. Scott, how can people get a hold of you as we close out?
Well, I'd just like to first and foremost thank everybody that's been calling me at Cobalt Mortgage. I really appreciate the opportunity to serve you. You can reach me at 737-6004, Scott Ridgway, Cobalt Mortgage. Everything you'd expect from your experienced local lender. Thanks so much.
And this has been Lance Kenmore. You can give me direct on my cell at 727-8977 with the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Talk to you next week.
And if he doesn't answer, he's being chased by a cheetah. We'll see you next week here on News Talk 870.